My eyes beheld a ghostly scene as death came on the stage. He swaggered with a boastful step and flew into a rage.
His voice was filled with cruelty. His eyes were filled with hate.
He snarled, "You are my prisoner. Therefore death shall be your fate." Then Jesus came and set my spirit free. Then Jesus came from heaven's throne to die on Calvary. My prison door flew open wide, and life has never been the same. All hope was gone, then Jesus came. Then Jesus came. The door was bolted tightly. I heard the jailer say, "Forever dwell in darkness. I have thrown the key away. The key away." Then Jesus came and set my spirit free. Then Jesus came from heaven's throne to die on Calvary. My prison door flew open wide, and life has never same. All hope was gone, then Jesus came. My prison door flew open wide, and life has never been the same. All hope was gone, then Jesus came. Then Jesus came.
My prison door
open wide. Open wide. My every hope was gone, then Jesus came.
Amen. Thank God he did come. Open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We shall begin to read in verse number 13. I want to encourage you to be back tonight for our evening service. It begins at 7 o'clock. There'll be no pre-services this evening. And so come for the 7 o'clock church service, and you've got a special treat in store for you. Brother Jim Camp, pastor of Victory Baptist Church in Lovington, New Mexico, will be preaching for us tonight. Brother Camp grew up in our church. Brother Camp wasn't a bus kid. He ought to have been. He grew up without any family support for the things of the Lord. The support and encouragement he got was from friends and people here at Trinity Baptist Church. God saved him. God called him to preach. He prepared his life. Went out to Lovington, New Mexico and started there and has been there these many years. He does not know the meaning of the word quit. It is a joy for a pastor to see young men go out and serve and stick. One of the blessings of my ministry was a few months ago, I got a letter from Brother Camp. Just a thank you letter and an encouraging letter to me. And he'll never know what it meant to this preacher. And I thank God for him. I'm looking forward to hearing him preach tonight. He wasn't much of a preacher when he was here, but I'm hoping after all the practice. No, you'll enjoy Brother Jim Camp, and I want you to be sure and be here tonight at 7 o'clock, and I'm looking forward to it. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 24. Stand with me as we begin to read in verse number 13. I want to speak today on this subject. Let's keep the fire burning. Let's keep the fire burning. I'm so tired of Christians getting saved, getting excited about being saved, and then after a few months being distracted and cool off. You know, in the Old Testament tabernacle, and the tabernacle was a picture of Jesus Christ and His redemptive work for us. And in that tabernacle, God Himself started the fire on the altar. And then it was up to the priest to keep that fire going, never to let it go out. When we get saved, God starts that fire burning in us. And it is up to us to keep that fire burning. It takes personal responsibility and maintenance when it comes to spiritual things to keep our hearts stirring and moving and bubbling and burning for Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, when it's burning, I'm not talking about eating too much chili. I'm talking about a holy heart burn. I'm talking about the presence of God working in your life. And when that's going on, the days just seem brighter. The flowers smell sweeter. The birds sing. But isn't it amazing when that burning quits, when that fire begins to dwindle, we begin to be sad and complain and find fault. I want to keep that fire burning. I've never gotten over the wonder of getting saved. I want to keep that fire burning in my heart and soul. The Bible says, "And behold, two of them," that's two of the disciples, "went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they walked together, and they talked together of all these things which had happened." Talking about the arrest and trial and crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They talked about all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, "What manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" And the one of them whose name was Cleophas, by the way, Cleophas' wife was one of the ladies at the cross when Jesus was crucified. Wonder where Cleophas was. Didn't say he was there. "And one of them whose name was Cleophas answered, saying unto him, 'Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which have come to pass in these days?' And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said. Isn't that good when you find it even as your wife had said? But him they saw not. And then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then Jesus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Wouldn't you have liked to have been on that walk that day? Wouldn't you have liked to have heard Jesus beginning with Moses and the prophets teach all the scriptures that pertain to himself? And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? By the way, is your heart burning in you for Christ today? Is there that stirring in your soul? Do you have that holy heartburn that comes only when we have a right relationship with Him? I want to speak to you on that subject, how we must keep the fire burning. Father, help me this morning to bring this message and challenge these dear people so that day by day we might be able to say our heart burns within us because of Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. Fill me with Thy Spirit. Speak through me today. Save every unsaved person listening to my voice. Every person in this auditorium today that knows You not as Savior, I'm asking You at this very moment to begin to work on their heart, bring conviction of their lost condition, their sin, that it's against God, and only hell awaits them without Jesus Christ. Would You save their soul today? And then, Heavenly Father, for Christians here today that are in need of a church home or to follow You in believer's baptism, or maybe they're a Christian whose fire has gone out. They've neglected the spiritual upkeep of their Christian life. Work in their heart and bring conviction today that they come back to God and do what's necessary to get that fire burning once again. Thank You for loving us and dying on that old rugged cross that we might have life everlasting. In Jesus' name, we thank You for every decision that shall be made. We thank You in advance, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. When a person gets saved, he's forgiven of all his sins. At the same time of his salvation, he is indwelt and sealed and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. His spirit is quickened. He is regenerated. He is made alive unto God. And for the first time now, in Christ, we can have a relationship through to God and with God through Jesus Christ. There is in our heart and soul a fire that started when we got saved. Like the apostles, they could say, and we ought to be able to say, our heart burned within us. Does yours? God started that when you got saved. I'm telling you, nobody is closer to God or more clean or more right with God than when they first get saved. And all the sweetness of it. I remember so being so full and so grateful that after church was over, I walked outside and leaned up against a tree and put my arms on the tree and wept with joy because of what God had done for me on that day. I know this happened in my life when I first got saved. And then after a little while, like many people, I began to neglect the fire. And in a few months, it kind of cooled off. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't mean that when the excitement, the fire dies down, you lose your salvation. That's no, no, no. When God saves us, it's forever. When we're born again, we can never get unborn again. After we're saved, we can be right with God or we can backslide on God. When we're right with God, the fire's burning. When we backslide, it has cooled down and we're not what we ought to be. When I seriously got right with God, got back in church, dedicated my life to Christ, it's amazing that fire started burning again. The joy bell started ringing again. And it's been burning bright now for more than 50 years. I'll be 70 years old my birthday, and I want you to know that fire still burns within my heart and soul as it did when I was 20 years old. Today I want to talk to you about keeping that fire burning. I grow weary of Christians losing their fire and growing cold and dropping out. I carry a heavy burden over those who started out with the fire of God burning in their heart, only to see them turn back, give up, give in, and drop out. I want to give you seven things I think that's necessary for us to practice daily if we're going to keep that fire burning. Number one, there must be salvation's experience. That fire's never going to burn if you don't have a know-so salvation. I don't mean to be one of these people that hope somehow make it to heaven. I'm not talking about those who think maybe they're saved. The only kind of salvation that God talks about in the Bible and the only kind of salvation Jesus purchased on Calvary is a know-so salvation. These things have I written unto you that believe that you may know you have eternal life. And I got to ask you this morning, do you know that you know? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that it's settled? I'm sick of those who are pretending that it's all right between them and God, and God knows it's not all right, and you know it's not all right. You're never going to experience that holy heartburn with God and hear the joy bells of salvation ringing in your soul until you settle the matter of a no-so salvation. And in order to have that no-so salvation, the first thing you must acknowledge you're lost, that you're a sinner, and that your sin is first and foremost against God. Then you must believe that Jesus died on the cross paying for your sin debt. And He arose again for your justification to provide free salvation to all who believe. Once that's settled in your heart, You receive Jesus Christ in simple faith by asking Him to save you, calling upon Him to save you. There'll never be a fire burning in your heart and soul for God if you've never been saved. You may be religious, you may be superstitious, but you'll never know the joy of salvation until you know a no-so salvation. He starts that fire burning in you. I remember years ago talking to a preacher. And this preacher said, you know, I can look back over my life and can't remember a day when I received Christ as Savior. He preached for 20 years and didn't know he was saved. He preached for 20 years living a life of pretense. And he got on his knees with his wife and asked Jesus to forgive him and save him. I believe he did. He said for the first time, there's peace and joy in his soul. For the first time, he could feel that fire of God in his heart. His ministry was nothing more than a job to him. But now he knew he had everlasting life because he had received a no-so salvation. Now, I'm not so sure that this problem is not prevalent in our churches today. I'm not so sure that there's a lot of people sitting in pews today that really pretend to be saved, but they don't know they're saved. They have no peace in their heart and soul. And because of pride or fear or something else the devil's put in their heart, they're not willing to get it right. What a fool a person is to live his life and face eternity pretending it's all right when you know it's not all right. You're never going to know that burning fire in your heart until you know a no-so salvation. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Do you have that no-so salvation? Well, I want you to know, based on the Scripture and the promise of God, doing exactly what God has told me to do, I can tell you that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know. I'm saved. Do you? Well, it's time to settle it if you don't know. It's time to quit playing games about it if you don't know. It's time to get it settled for sure if you don't have that no-so salvation. I don't believe you can be born again and again and again. But I believe with all my heart and soul, ye must be born again. And if you're born again, you know it. Secondly, not only must there be a no-so salvation in your life, there must be the Savior's enthronement. If you're going to have that heart burning within you, you've got to make sure that Christ is enthroned as King of your life, as Lord of your life. Now listen to me, I don't believe in Lordship salvation. I don't believe that you make Him Lord in order to get saved. But after we're saved, He is Lord. We've got to make Him Lord. We've got to crown Him King. Until you make your Savior your Lord and Master, you'll not be able to keep the fire burning. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 that no man can serve two masters. You love the one and hate the other, or you'll hold to the one and despise the other. And I'm here to tell you, if that fire is going to burn in our heart and soul, then we've not only got to trust Him as our Savior, but we need to make Him Lord and Master of our life. Some of you haven't done that. You're still wanting to hold on to the world. You're wanting to be saved and have Jesus' blessings, but you want to hold on to the world and have your worldly carnal fun. You got to make a decision, one or the other. No man can serve two masters. And if that fire's going to burn within you like it ought to burn in every Christian, we've got to make Him Lord and Master of our life. There's room in the human heart and soul for only one throne. And only you can decide who's going to sit on it. It's not going to burn. This old world is cold and dead and hard. And when this world is sitting on that throne, you're going to be cold and hard. Ah, but when the one who loved us and gave himself for us on that old rugged cross is enthroned, when we love him and yield to him and make him Lord of all in our life, oh, that fire will burn. The bubbles will bubble. The birds will sing. The flowers will bloom. And everything will look great, be wonderful. You'll never get over salvation's experience if you have that no-so salvation and you keep Christ enthroned in your heart. Evidence of making Christ Lord and Master of our life is our obedience to His Word and His will. Don't tell me He's Lord of your life when you're living contrary to the Word of God. Don't tell me He's Lord of your life. You show up church to church once every three Sundays. Don't tell me He's Lord of your life and you don't love enough to give your tithes and offerings. Don't tell me He's Lord of your life and you don't care enough about Him and others and why He came that you won't tell anybody else about Jesus Christ. Jesus asked the question, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" If we made Him to be Lord and Master, then we will become His bondservant, and it will be our joy to serve Him all the days of our life, not because we have to, but because we love Him. Thirdly, if we're going to keep that fire burning, there must be the Holy Spirit's endowment. You say, what does that mean? That means living a life filled with the Spirit. Now, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit becomes the indwelling one in our body. Our body becomes His temple. That happens the very moment we get saved. That indwelling is when the Holy Spirit takes up His abode in us. And at that time, His abode in us is called the sealing of the Spirit, which is God's mark of ownership, saying that we belong to Him. We're His purchased possession. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you don't belong to God. But when we get saved, I believe we're filled with the Holy Spirit the moment we're saved. Now, the indwelling and sealing takes place one time in our life. That's when we first get saved. The filling of the Holy Spirit can take place many times in our life and ought to if you're going to walk with God. And it is the endowment or filling with power of the Holy Spirit of God that helps keep that fire burning in our heart and soul. If He is not in charge of your life, and being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you just get more of the Holy Spirit. It means the Holy Spirit gets control of your life. And when that happens, oh, the burning that starts in here, the thrill that begins in here. Without living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, we'll soon grow tired and cold and quit. The world calls it burnout in the Christian life. I hear preachers talking about, well, I've got to quit because I'm burnt out. You know what burnout is? Burnout is trying to do the work of God in the energy of the flesh. And anytime you try to do God's work only with human ability and human plan and human initiative, you're going to burn out. But God's people are not to burn out. We're to burn up. The Holy Spirit of God is to fill our hearts as we yield ourselves to Him. And He makes our life exciting and gives us purpose. He is the one to give us direction. He is the one that makes known the will of God in our life. He is the one that makes that heart burn within us for the things of God. I wonder how many of you got up this morning and said, "Man, it's church day. hot dogs, I get to go to church today. You notice I didn't say amen because I don't think most of you are that spiritual. Hot dogs, I get to go to church today. You can tell the carnal Christian that's getting right from the spiritual Christians in any congregation, because when they're carnal and just getting right, preachers preaching, they say, hot dogs. When they're right, they say amen. When they're dead, they say nothing. Living a spirit-filled life is a day-by-day, hour-by-hour endeavor. If you're going to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, you can't decide, I'm going to get saved and ask God to fill me and that'll take care of me the rest of my life. David, I have to go to God in the evening, sometimes in the middle of the day, sometimes an hour later. The more you serve Him, the more you need Him. You know, there's an amazing thing. I can park my pickup in my driveway and leave it parked and never have to fill it up with gas. Doesn't use it. Boy, it gets good mileage in my driveway. But the more I drive it, the more I've got to fill it up. That gas provides the power to drive the engine. And the Holy Spirit is the power that drives our lives. And the more we serve God, the more we're going to have to go back of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And there's never going to be a burning in our heart and soul for the things of God until we are endued with power of the Holy Spirit of God. And then fourthly, if we're to keep the fire burning in our heart and soul, we must also maintain enthusiasm in our service for God. Now, enthusiasm does not mean that you're saved, but it sure does make your testimony more effective. And it makes our Christian walk more exciting. You give me a man that's excited for the Lord Jesus, another old man that's just over here going along, dragging, doing what he has to do because he has to do it. One's not going to be as effective as the other. Enthusiasm makes people want to know what's changed your life. Enthusiasm makes the Word of God more appealing to the hearts of those that don't know God. You say, where do you get that enthusiasm? You get it from God. Entheos, the root word, means in God. The excitement and energy we have because of being in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the Scripture calls it. I'm often asked, where do you get all your energy? Where do you get your excitement, preacher? Where's that enthusiasm comes from? It comes from the Lord and His Holy Spirit in me. For without Him, I can do nothing. That's what made a Jack Hiles preach with enthusiasm at 73, right before he died. That's what makes a Tom Malone preach with enthusiasm when he was 83, right before he died. That's what made a Lee Robinson at 90 go all over America preaching the Word of God, and people were excited about his message. God was in him, and the fire was burning in him. You'll never keep the fire burning within you without faithfully serving God. God did not fill you with the Holy Spirit to sit. God filled us to serve. Every Christian in here ought to have a place of service in the church. And shame on you if you don't. You say, preacher, I can't do much. God knows what you can do. He don't expect you to do what you don't have the strength and ability to do. But He expects you to do something. Dear God, if you can't walk soul winning, you can get on your knees and pray. And if you can't get on your knees and pray, you can sit down and pray. And if you can't sit down and pray, you can lay down and pray. I remember being in a prayer meeting with Lester Roloff one time before he spoke for me. He laid flat down on his face, stretched out on the floor. He prayed and he talked to God a little while, talked to Jesus a little while, talked to the Holy Spirit a little while. Then he said, "Devil, I know you're here. And I'm going to ask God to help me to give you a licking tonight." And then he went back, did all that laying flat down. There's something every one of us could do. And you're never going to keep the fire burning in your heart without finding a place of service in the will of God and serving Him faithfully and committedly. If you're to keep the fire burning, there must be separation's example. You're never going to keep that fire burning living in the world like the world. The Bible says that people took notice of the disciples, the apostles, because they had been with Jesus. I'm afraid too often people look at Christians and take notice of us because we've been with the world. If Acts 4:13 is ever to be used in reference to me and you, then we've got to separate ourselves from the world. You can't spend time with Jesus living like the world lives. Joseph was taken into captivity in Egypt, or rather he was sold into bondage in Egypt at age 17. And Joseph, being a boy who loved God, kept the fire burning even in Egypt, because he separated himself from Egypt's sins and practices. He couldn't do anything about the fact that he was in Egypt, but he made sure that Egypt never got in him. And he kept the fire burning. Even when Joseph died, he didn't want to be buried in Egypt. He left instructions: when you leave, take my bones with you. And they did. Because he didn't want to be left in Egypt. Too many of God's people want to live their Christian life in Egypt, like the world. And no wonder that fire is never going to burn in your heart and soul as a Christian. Then if you're to keep the fire burning, you must keep yourself involved in the soul-winning efforts of your local church. Did you know the number one reason we are filled with the Spirit is to empower us so we can be effective in our witness for Christ? The filling of the Holy Spirit is not to make your Christian life comfortable. It's not so you can enjoy the pleasures of the world. The filling of the Holy Spirit is to endue us with power to make our witness effective. Jesus said, "You shall be receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Let me say to every one of you, no matter how long you've been a member of the church or not, if you're going to keep that fire burning, you're going to have to learn how to be a witness to the lost about Jesus Christ. I can't tell you anything that will stir my soul more than seeing someone bow their head and call on Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And yet the most difficult thing to get Christians to do is to read their Bible, pray, and be a witness. Be a witness. And I'm here to tell you, until you learn to practice those things, you're never going to have that fire burning in your heart and your soul. One more thing, and I'll be through. If we are to keep the fire burning, we must desire with all our heart the Savior's well done. What's most important in your life, your will or His will? May I say that God did not save you. He did not suffer and bleed and die on the cross so you could enjoy your will. He did not resurrect from the dead so you could live to fulfill your will. But He did die to save us to redeem us. And He empowered us so we could live to fulfill His will. One of these days, every one of us is going to stand before Him. One of these days, we're going to give an account of our life. And I want to hear Him say, "Bob, well done, thou good and faithful servant." You're never going to have that burning in your heart until you hunger and thirst after His well done. I want to please Him. I want to go to bed at night and know that I've lived my life that day to please Him. I've lived my life to do His will, to serve Him. That doesn't mean that there are times when I do things that I enjoy doing. I enjoy the Lord's work. I'm not one of these get up in the morning and hate to go to work. I enjoy the Lord's work. If you have a job you hate, I pity you. I want you to know, if I had 10,000 lives to live, I'd want to be His preacher in every one of them. I love serving my Savior. But I'm telling you, this week out fishing, that fire still burned. Still burned. Is that fire burning in your heart? Pardon me, I just opened a wound my wife inflicted on me this week with a fish hook. I'm bleeding. It's warm blood. I want you to know something's burning in here. Because He's real to me. And I want to please Him. I know one of these days I'm going to stand before Him. And He's going to take the book and open it to my name and read the record of my soul. The record of my life. I sure want to live in such a way that He lifts His head up and smiles and says, "Well done. Thou good and faithful servant." If your Christian life is not being lived in such a way so that the fire is burning in here, in your heart, don't you think you ought to kind of surmise that He's not pleased with it? Because He didn't save us to be dead and cold and worldly and indifferent. He saved us so He could live His life through us and in us. And I want to keep that fire burning. Let me say in conclusion again, it's never going to burn if you don't have that know-so salvation. That ought to be the first thing you settle today. Father, that's our message. Thank You for being so good to us. Thank You for saving unworthy sinners. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross that hell-deserving sinners like we are could be saved and have life everlasting. Now, Father in heaven, we ask You today to speak to our hearts. We ask You today, Lord, to make known unto us the need of our life. There are people here today who've never been saved and know it. If they should die where they are, that spend eternity in hell without hope. There are other people here today who have been going through a pretense, pretending that they're saved. But if you should come back, they'd be like the foolish virgins that'll be locked outside because they're not ready. They're not saved. God, I'm asking You today to save their soul. Awaken them to their condition before it's too late. And they'll spend eternity in hell without hope and without God. And then, Heavenly Father, there are Christians here who do know You. And they've cooled down. The fire's kind of died out. They've not done the things necessary to keep the fire burning within them. Speak to their heart this morning. Bring them to that place where they'll fall on their face before God. And do whatever it is they need to do to get right with God and get that fire burning again within them. And then there are those, Father, that work hard at maintaining a walk with God. They keep that fire well fueled so it'll burn day after day. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for what they mean to the cause of Christ. And let that number grow. Now, Father, you know the decisions we need to make today. Some need to come and get saved. Some need to come for believers.